Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hello, Pastor Dave.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, but we've had a lot of flash floods and rain around here in the past several days.
And more than that, there has been some rough weather, hasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the natural disasters that we can experience in our country today?
Well, we can certainly experience earthquakes.
They do come in several parts of the country, absolutely.
Including here in Missouri, where we live along the New Madrid Fault.
What's another disaster?
Thunderstorms. We're always getting severe thunderstorm warnings.
And what's severe about them is when the lightning hits, it can start fires.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Any others? Disasters?
Yeah. We here in St. Louis and along the Mississippi area, live in what they call Tornado Alley.
It's not just here, but they'll talk about that in Iowa and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
A tornado or high.
Oklahoma.
Those are all disasters.
High winds, yeah.
And these are some things that we experience, but do you know, we also will find disasters that happen in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some more of these, but these aren't just natural disasters. These are God-directed things. That's why we call them the 10 plagues. Let's continue in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, verse 21, where we have God speaking to Moses.
Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, "This is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies and even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land."
Flies. Lots of flies. Swarms of flies.
Ugh.
This is the fourth plague God sent on Egypt. Flies that went everywhere, even in your ears, on your eyelashes, and up your nose, causing great misery with their persistence.
Interesting then, because the Egyptians venerated flies. Many people wore flies as amulets to promote persistence. The Pharaoh gave flies to soldiers who had been heroic in battle.
God was persistent, though, in saying, "Let my people go," and so sent the flies. But they did not go into the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, showing God's pleasure upon his people.
So Pharaoh decided he'd compromise. He summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "You can sacrifice, but you can't leave Egypt."
This was not acceptable at all, and Moses pointed out, if we sacrificed, we do blood sacrifices of animals, and the Egyptians don't accept that. They would stone us, remembering, by the way, there were still slaves in that land.
So Pharaoh said, "You can go, but pray that the flies will go away." And Moses said, "All right, I'll pray, but see to it that you keep your word this time." So he did pray, but
the Pharaoh changed his mind once again and did not let the people go.
Let's continue with chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses,
go to the Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of God will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats.
And the next day, the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go.
The livestock. The fifth plague is the destruction of the livestock of Egypt.
The livestock were killed by a disease. They think that it might have been something called murrain, which is something like anthrax, which kills all grazing cattle.
God had set out the warning, and so if the people heeded the warning and brought their cattle in from the grazing field, their cattle would have been saved.
The Egyptians worshipped their cattle. They built golden calves to idolize their cattle. So the Lord destroyed not only the wealth of Egypt, but also something it worshipped. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron,
take handfuls of soot from the furnace and toss it into the air in the presence of the Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land.
So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses.
Boils, painful boils. This was the sixth plague upon the land of Egypt. The dust that was taken by Moses and thrown in the air came from the very kilns by which the Israelites were forced in their slavery to make bricks for the Egyptians. So God is turning the tables and using that painful affliction of slavery against the Egyptians by bringing boils. So many boils that even the magicians, when called by Pharaoh to do something, couldn't even stand.
Pastor Dave, do you know I have a hole in my back?
You have a hole in your back?
Yeah, that's what I called it when I was a kid, and that's what it feels like now. It's a scar. When I was about two or three, apparently I had a huge boil or carbuncle, which a carbuncle is a bunch of boils all in one. Boils are horrible, painful abscesses that are full of pus. They can last anywhere from a few days to a few weeks. And sometimes a doctor has to lance them to get the disgusting stuff out. And then they have to be careful that they aren't, because there can be infection and it can spread.
And this is what the Egyptians had all over their bodies and the animals as well. We continue with Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, as God speaks to Moses yet again.
Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there's no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched my hand out and struck you with your people with a plague, and that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you in my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now."
And so the Lord did as he promised. Those who feared the Lord, even among the Egyptians, and some had started to now believe, brought their animals in to keep them safe from the hail.
But those who did not believe left their animals out in the field. It was January and February at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they had range cattle, free-range cattle. And that leads me to a question. All the livestock had died in an earlier plague. So why are we talking livestock here?
Because several possibilities. They could have bought more, like from the Israelites, whose livestock weren't damaged. They could have bought from elsewhere. And so there were some left, and they were not listening to the word of the Lord when it came again to this plague.
Let's finish the chapter, starting at verse 27. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. "This time I have sinned," he said to them. "The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay here any longer." Moses replied, "When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripen later." Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Moving into Exodus chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Go to the Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord."
So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let my people go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all Egyptians. Something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go, worship the Lord your God," he said, "but just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you. If I let you go along with all your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you've been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence.
You would think by now Pharaoh would catch on, wouldn't you?
You would.
But he doesn't. And part of it is because God is involved and he's purposely hardening the heart of Pharaoh so that the Egyptians and Pharaoh will all realize the Lord is God of all. These locusts, they were going to cover the ground, eat everything, and be in everybody's house.
I mean, literally everything.
Everything. The grass, like there's not much left.
The grass that the cattle would eat, if there was any. The blossoms on the fruit trees. The fruit trees themselves. They will eat everything.
The wise men were finally catching on. Let him go. Let him go. They encourage. And Pharaoh, he actually bargained with Moses, thinking he could. Okay, you can go, but only the men, not the women and children. And we continue with verse 13 of chapter 10.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that the locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail."
So Moses stretched out his hand over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind brought locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. I don't understand something. Why didn't Moses say to Pharaoh, "Okay, I'll pray for you because you've sinned, but this time you'd better not renege on your promise"?
I can think of two reasons that he didn't do that. One is, do you remember, Moses is a slave. I mean, and he stood there. Pharaoh could have had any of his guards just say, "Kill that guy." And the soldier would have just reached up and put a sword through him. So he had to be cautious because he was in a place of vulnerability. But I think even more than that was he was trying to be respectful through all of this. It was not skin off of Moses' nose, you might say, but off of Pharaoh's nose. And if Pharaoh wants to mess it up, that's up to him. But Moses will be polite and kind through it all.
To show Pharaoh, kind of to show Pharaoh up, to show...
Yeah, and that's something that we as people of faith today are asked by God to do as well, is even when people are rough and mean and nasty to us, we remain constant kind.
It's hard to do when you've got a disability.
Oh, it can be, but that's what makes the difference in being able to say, and I'm able to do this because I have a God of strength behind me and a God who loves and forgives me so I can forgive you.
If you want to talk about this, about times when you've had to be respectful when you didn't want to be, or when you've had hard times with forgiveness,
write
to us.
You can do so at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
dot N-E-T.
I think that said net. And remember,
we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.